We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI.
This is the WEI Producers Show. Ryan Garver, I know you know this song, and I chose it because it's very fitting for the Boston Celtics year 2021. 22 Boston Celtics. This is Cage the Elephant and Back Against the Wall. Al Horford mentioned it many times. We had Derek White, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago saying if it was easy,
it wouldn't be us.
It wouldn't be us.
Ugh.
Print the shirts, because this team, for some reason, needs this mentality to where they have to lose games in order to win it.
What happened?
If it was easy, it wouldn't be us. So.
Can I personally say I hate it?
I went to sleep when they were up 63-60. Celtics won, right?
Yes.
Titletown.
Titletown, USA, baby.
Red Sox. 2 a.m. victory. It's the Boston Celtics who have an infuriating approach where they have to have some sort of back against the wall, get punched in the face in game one in order to win the next game in game two, or vice versa. It's so maddening. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but I want to start with a very simple question, and it's kind of a sports radio cliche. Did the Warriors win the game, or did the Celtics lose it?
So, I mean, to be fair, Steph Curry went absolutely nuclear in this game. He was in that fourth quarter, he hit a couple threes that are just stupid. Oh, God, that's a
there
moth.
Is a moth in here. We will save that for Megan Adelaine at 2 p.m. on Monday.
I may kill it.
That is a monster.
Get out of my face. Anyways.
That is playing better defense right now than Al Horford did last night.
It is. But even still, Steph Curry went absolutely nuclear. So I don't want to take anything away from Steph Curry because I think he was tremendous
in
that game. So in that regard, I think the Warriors played or won the game. But at the same time, the Celtics kind of helped them a little bit. There was that stretch. It was 97-94, and the Celtics hawked up five straight three-point shots, bricked them all. Like, just one of those. Just one. Drive it to the basket. Like, you don't have to tie the game. You're playing like there's 5 seconds on the clock, and you need to tie it at 97. There was 3 minutes left in the game. Take it to the hoop. Get any points you can. You know Steph is locked in. He's going to go down the floor and hit a shot. You need to just get points and keep it close, and yet they kept on insisting on taking three-point shots there in the final minute.
Do you know how many points the Celtics scored in the final 5.5 minutes of the game?
If I had to guess, I'd say like seven.
Oh, God, you guys are giving them too much credit. They scored 3 points.
And it was that Al Horford three.
Yeah, it was the final one. It was the only offense they were able to muster up.
Smart hit a three, too, so it's six.
Oh, Smart jacked up a lot of threes.
It was 91-85 with 7:30 left.
I am going to credit the Golden State Warriors for winning that game. I think that this is all about Steph Curry. I think this is all about what Steve Kerr did, because Draymond Green, who I thought had a great game, he had 2 points, which was, Charles Barkley would say, 2 points more than I had. He was, do you guys think plus minus is an important stat?
Overrated, but still useful.
I think it's useful. He had a zero. Which
Draymond Green, yes.
I like to say he was a plus zero. The haters of Draymond Green, like Shine, will say he's a minus zero. I'm going to say he's a
Draymond
plus zero.
Stinks.
But he also had 9 rebounds and 8 assists. And I thought he was actually very important to what the Golden State Warriors were able to do last night. And it was interesting to watch because I thought Steve Kerr has been dog waters this entire series. But watching what he would do with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole when they were on offense, Jordan Poole's in the game. And then they hit a timeout or somebody fouls somebody. Draymond Green, you're on defense. And Draymond Green made big plays. He got an offensive rebound to keep a possession going. He was making the right passes. He was making the right assists. The thing that worries me about Golden State is if they ever have a game where Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins can kind of keep pace with what Steph Curry's doing. The Celtics don't have any chance, but all that being said, this series is over. The Boston Celtics are not going to go and win two games in Golden State when they've only lost one game the entire playoffs.
They don't have to win two games in Golden State.
Yeah, they only have to win one. You win one in Golden State, one at home.
Okay, so they're going to go in game five.
I absolutely think they're going to win in game five.
They're
better.
No chance.
I also think you are out of your mind to think that Draymond had a good game. Draymond was literally non-existent on the offensive
floor. Draymond was great.
There was a play, and Nick and I were talking about it this morning before the show. There was a play in the first half where he got easy rebound. He had the easiest put back in his life. I could have put it back, and he friggin' launches it off the backboard.
He missed a two-footer by like 6 feet.
Steve Kerr benched him in the fourth quarter because he wanted to play Poole and Looney because they gave him more.
Hold on, wait. That's my point, Producer Nick. Good morning. Hope you're having a great day.
Good morning, Ryan.
But that's exactly what Steve Kerr was doing is he finally woke up and went, I actually can manipulate this to work in our favor for the first time all series.
But because Steve Kerr did something, doesn't make Draymond play good.
No, but it all worked out because Draymond came in and made the plays that they needed to make to win that game. Yeah, he's not going to score. That's not what he does.
I'm not crediting Draymond Green for dribble handing off.
Draymond played absolutely awful. Played a great game. You guys are haters.
He was non-existent.
Good morning, Draymond.
We're not having a discussion.
I hope you're having a great day.
A great game.
I like
the great game was clearly by Steph Curry.
Is this reverse psychology by Ryan?
No, it's not.
I don't know.
I absolutely believe that. Hold on, because I'm not done. Based on what are they going to turn around and wake up and decide? Oh, we're actually going to win the third quarter. We're actually going to play like there's some sense of urgency. They haven't done that all playoff series long.
The third series.
Oh yeah, when they won game five against Milwaukee, when they won
haven't
game
lost
six.
A game after oh, it's pathetic. After loss.
It's pathetic.
They're
I think they're a great team.
Losses.
I think they are actually better than Golden State, but they don't play that way. So they absolutely don't play that way.
You understand that when they have this alternating fashion, you win game one and you can't lose the series. If that trend holds true, you win game one, three, five, and seven, and you win the series.
Yes. So it's a layup that they're going to go and they're going to win two games in Golden State.
No,
I don't see it. They're not going to win. They don't win back-to-back games, guys. They haven't done it. They've done it twice.
And they don't lose back-to-back games.
Exactly.
So if you're going to rail against that, then you also have to acknowledge that it's still possible they win games five
and
seven.
And they've been tremendous on the road
this year. Which is the trend that has been true the entire series.
And the trend that's also been true is how bad they've been in third quarters.
And
that's when they lose all their games.
And they've been so good.
They haven't lost back-to-back still.
So you guys are fine. After what you saw last night, everything's good. Nope, they're going to figure out in game five because they don't lose back-to-back games. Everything's cool. They're going to get on a long-ass flight. Yeah, Jason Tatum said, we don't do this on purpose. Then why do you do it?
This seems like an overreaction to me. This is the reaction I would expect after game two where the Celtics got absolutely pumped. Last night, they did not get pumped. They played very well in the first half, and in the second half, they made some mistakes. Yeah. Golden State was the better team, and Steph Curry went absolutely nuclear.
Okay,
that's
so
why
I'm
lost
crazy.
That game.
617-779-7937. Call in, talk about how great the Celtics are. Because they were awesome last night. They were so good. Marcus Smart, my God. Jason Tatum, he's a superstar. They're amazing. They're going to win a championship. Come
on. You seem so mad about like last night's loss. Did you lose some money on the game or something?
No, not at all. It's so typical. It's so predictable.
No, it's
so predictable.
It's not, though.
Like 8 minutes left. I'm like, they're going to lose this game because it's what they do.
I mean, to be fair, in the fourth quarters so far this series prior to last night, they were like a plus 40. This is the first fourth quarter
the exact
where they
same
got
thing the
dominated.
Warriors do to the Celtics in the third.
Exactly.
The Celtics turn the tables and erase it. The little numbers have been plus 43 for the Warriors in the third.
And then plus 40 for the Celtics
entering it. So the trend's been very cyclical. It's been
I think these two teams
one
are very even.
To another.
I don't think that there is
3 points in 5 minutes is even?
Okay, you had a bad 5-minute stretch, Ryan.
It's
that is not indicative of the entire series.
It's not just any 5 minutes. You lost the game in 5 minutes. You absolutely could have won, but that's, again,
you could
have
won.
Not
yes.
what the Celtics
but
do.
No, see, that's the thing, though, is normally the Celtics will win a game and then lay an absolute egg, like in game two, where like you get absolutely pumped. This game, you had a chance to win with 5 minutes still left in the game.
Sure.
Like, that to me is a good performance overall by the Celtics. Was it a bad final 5 minutes? Yeah, it was awful. I hated the shot selection. Absolutely putrid. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing that point at all. I'm just saying prior to that, those three quarters were pretty good. I would say that was a relatively good game by the Celtics up until the fourth quarter.
617-779-7937. Did the Warriors win the game or did the Celtics lose it? This hour of the Producer Show, Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim, Tyler Devitt, is brought to you by the cleanup and restoration specialist at ServPro. Call 1-800-ServPro. I think the Warriors just absolutely won it. And the reason why I'm not concerned, Ryan, is because Golden State got an all-time great game from an all-time great player. That was probably Steph Curry's greatest game of his career. To the point where Derek White was playing great defense down the stretch, hand in his face. We can get to Al Horford's defense, which he was not even, like, you're supposed to play help defense when you're not guarding the ball. He forgot the whole help aspect of playing defense there, so I don't know what Al Horford's doing. Steph Curry was unconscious, like, to the point where I don't know what else the Celtics could have done. You just take your hat. It's a boring take. It's a boring-ass take. You just tip your hat.
No, it's the only thing you can do is keep up scoring, and they just couldn't do that.
When Steph Curry misses, it feels like luck.
Yeah.
Which is a weird way to
look. I completely agree.
He shoots 50%.
Shot he takes looks like it's going to go
in. Especially if there's nobody in his face. As soon as he releases the ball, I'm like, oh, well, that's three. Like, it's and I just that's the thought that goes through my head. I go, well, that's going to be in the basket. Like, it's not even a hesitation. The guy, it's insane how good he is shooting the basketball. I can't even explain. Like, if you were an alien, came down to Earth, and I showed you this guy and said, this is the best player I've ever seen in my life. It's like, I can't even explain it. I don't even know how to explain it.
He's ruined a generation of AAU kids where everybody's going to start shooting from the half court line. But
sure, but nobody's ever going to be Steph Curry again.
He doesn't miss. And when you watch him play the way he does, and when you watch, I don't know what the numbers were on drop coverage in game four, but I don't think it really makes a difference if you want to play up in his face, if you want to switch, if, you know, they want to try and manipulate a rotation to go against Al Horford. It seems like they can do these things. But, yeah, Steph Curry, another great game. And I look at the other side of it is Jason Tatum started off so well. I was really feeling good. I think it was 16 points in the first half, and I don't have what he finished with off the top of my head.
23.
But 23 points. So
he started the game 4 of 6, 3 of 3 from 3-point land. He ended up going 1 of 5 from 3 beyond that and 4 of 17.
I wonder if he just got tired because he played 21 and a half minutes in the first half. That's a lot. But he is young. And Greg Hill did mention the shoulder tear, which I feel like is completely getting buried. You're the producer of that show. You heard it live.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't even think it registered, really. I thought it was more so like...
Clearly did not with Jermaine Wiggins.
It was kind of...
Something's wrong!
It kind of
Daniel Tice cannot be guarding Steph Curry out in the lock, okay, Greg?
I think there may be some validity to that.
Right here, actually. I have them up at weei.com. It's like, ha, why?
Sorry, go ahead.
Ime was talking about it yesterday, two days ago prior to the game, like during their practice session or whatever, and he was saying how it's just like a stinger and he kind of has to manage the pain. So clearly, I think there is some constant pain there for Tatum. But at the same time, though, it's weird because, again, he starts so well shooting the ball. So if it's because they numbed him up prior to the game, we'll do it again at halftime. And then he should come out, theoretically. If he plays that well at the beginning of the game, he should come out in the third quarter doing the same thing.
But let me ask you, Craig, a question, honestly.
Thank you, Wiggy. If it's just a process of numbing it up. But if that's not the issue, then I don't necessarily understand. Like, was it just bad shooting? Was it bad shot selection?
Sure. So we'll take to actually calls on this, too. So did the Celtics lose the game, or was it just an all-time great game by Steph Curry? And what do you think the struggles of Jason Tatum are attributed to? I think it's two different ways you can look at it. Is the moment in the stage too big for him? This is a guy who keeps talking about, it's a dream come true to be here. I've been thinking about this my whole life. Or do you think he's hurt? I think it's one of the two scenarios. He either hurt or you think the stage is too big. 617-779-7937. This is the WEI Producer Show. Let's go to line one and say good morning to Jim in the car. Good morning, Jim.
I got to laugh at you guys. Hey, Mom, I was winning the race until the end. The third quarter, you know, there's one more quarter to go. And Steph Curry does this almost every game when he plays. If he doesn't do it every game, he has an off night. Where the hell is Brown and Tatum? Your big guys, Tatum, all the greatest in the world. And he's got a bad shoulder now. Good, you're making excuses. So if they did, Lou, oh, he had a bad shoulder. Well, what about the other teams they played? They missing guys, and they also played against people that were hurting as well.
So, Jim, hey, I would say in response, I actually went back and watched the final 7.5 minutes. It's a boring-ass take. I keep saying this, but the Celtics didn't lose this game. I don't actually disagree with you, Shime. I don't think the shot selection was miserably bad. I think Klay just locked up Jaylen Brown for the first time really all series. He completely played great defense on him, shut him down, got some turnovers. The Celtics did get three-point happy, but that's because the rotations were literally perfect by the Warriors to cut off driving lanes and force open shots by Smart, by Brown,
is Marcus
by Horford.
Smart took a lot of those shots, and that seems to, I don't know if
a couple of them were bad.
But I'm not even going to say if they're good or bad. It just seems that that's what has happened when Jason Tatum gets doubled, is usually Marcus Smart is sort of the next guy to get the ball.
So tough.
And then you're going to live and die with that. Sometimes he's going to make those shots.
Instead of taking those shots, just take it to the basket. Like, draw a foul, do something. Like, it's
and run into three guys and then kick it out to another corner. It's, he's open. That's the thing.
Marcus Smart, he's not a sharpshooter. Like, I understand that he's open. I get that. But at the same time, take a more high percentage shot. Get to the rim. He was very good multiple times, actually, in that game. Marcus would take it to the rim, spin, step back, fall away jumper, hit it. I think he was like 3 of 4 for those inside the key. Do something like that. It's a far more high percentage shot than sitting beyond the arc and just yucking up a three just because you're open. Just because you're open doesn't mean it's a good shot.
Yep.
Like, and that's my big issue.
To answer Tyler's question about it, you know, is this moment too big for the Celtics, but specifically Jason Tatum, or is it the shoulder injury? I felt that after game one when you looked at how they played. I'm like, this is for a team that has really, you know, up until now, risen up to all the adversity that has been presented to them or that they have been, you know, brought upon themselves. Yeah, it was a weird look for Tatum specifically, but I thought the whole team looked weird in game one. Going forward, I just think it was a matter of those guys not hitting their shots, which is why it's really discouraging to wake up when you know the Celtics more than likely should be up instead of tied in the series right now, where they had a golden opportunity to take... Your foot was on their throat, Celtics. It's, you know, I understand. Golden State is a very good team. I still think the Celtics are better, but I come back to the fact that they don't consistently play like they are the better team, because when you are that good, you shouldn't be 3 points through the last 5 minutes and or whatever it was, 7 points through the last seven minutes of the game. It's really frustrating to watch, especially after Jason Tatum shows you what he's capable of in the first half. Jaylen Brown, again, who gets zero credit for anything the Celtics seem to do, was steady that entire game. And I think, again, it's just not enough shots from these guys. And you don't want Marcus Smart shooting. Okay, who do you want shooting? Because nobody else is open. He hits these shots. He's made these shots in the past. He hit a couple threes down the stretch, I think at the end of the third quarter, where you went, okay, starting field. Actually, it was when it was 94-90, Tatum blocked at the rim, throws it out to Smart for a buzzer beater. Huge momentum three. Place is going crazy. Portnoy with his jerk face shirt on. He's dancing out there. Everybody's feeling good. And then they fall apart. And here we are, 2-2, when it easily should be 3-1.
And one quick note on the Tatum injury before we get to trending as well. This is not like an excuse we're making up. He has been dealing with this now for what?
A series and a half.
Like, we're not making an excuse for the guy. It's just a fact. He's playing through an injury. It is what it is.
Well, Andy Hart defined excuses as explanations by a loser. I think was his definition of the word excuses. I mean,
coming from
sense.
Andy Hart, the ultimate loser.
There you go,
my guy.
If it was easy, it wouldn't be your Boston Celtics. Have you lost confidence going forward? It's 2-2 now with three games left in the series. Home court advantage lies with the Golden State Warriors, who have all the experience and now have home court advantage. 617-779-7937. Chris Scheim, Ryan Garvin, Tyler Devitt. This is the WEI Producer Show. Let's get it trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WEEI. We are right back to the WEEI Producers Show.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Well, they were staring at a possible 3-1 deficit in these finals. And again, trailing here in the fourth quarter, but they get another road win. They have not been a great road team in these playoffs. They were 3-5 coming into this one. But they always seem to find a way to win one. And this will be now 27 consecutive series with at least one win on the road. That's an NBA record.
Truly phenomenal, Mike.
The NBA Finals are tied at 2 games apiece as the brilliance of Steph Curry on full display here in Boston.
I just kind of realized something with the final 5 minutes of that game. Was that the first crunch time moment? By the way, this is the WEI Producer Show, Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim, Tyler Debbitt. So crunch time is a 5-point margin with 5 minutes left. Was this the first time this whole series we've seen a crunch time scenario? Because every game's kind of been a third quarter deciding factor, a Celtics early fourth quarter run. This is the first time we've seen this, which we've seen a trend for the Celtics this season. They've not been good in crunch time.
Celtics won by 12 in game one, lost by 19 in game two, won by 16 in game three. Yeah, I think it's safe to say, Ty, that this is the first crunch time moment of the finals.
I think you were saying once the finals, 8 minutes came and there was, a 5-point margin the Celtics led, you were not feeling good about it because of what you have seen from this team through the season. I felt good because I thought you weren't getting the great game from Jason Tatum. They were only getting an all-time great game from Steph Curry. But I think the Warriors just absolutely played great defense. And sometimes great defense does beat great offense. Mark Jackson, who continually rolls out the line, that offense beats defense. I don't know why he keeps saying that.
Yeah, not the
but
case.
I think it's more of good Warriors than bad Celtics. You guys agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Steph Curry was just otherworldly last night. That's, like you said, all-time game from an all-time player. And that's going to happen sometimes. But it's also not going to happen for 7 games. Like, it's just,
no.
He's been good. He's been really good for all 4 games. But he's never, he hasn't been like that. All 4 games.
Would you be surprised if it happens game five? Or I should say, game five Monday night?
There absolutely will be some regression there. There's no way he scores 40 again. There's no shot.
I wonder if he does. If he scores 40 again, can they still win the game? Because they got great contributions off the bench from Jordan Poole. Andrew Wiggins, career high rebounds. Kayvon Looney actually was a pretty good factor, even though he only scored, 6 points?
But he was effective. He was
a plus 21
It's not a lot that's going to pop up on the box score, but I thought, Otto Porter started the game last night, correct?
Yes, he did.
That is correct.
Yeah, I was going to say I haven't seen Otto Porter start a game in this series.
Porter started the game and ended the game with 15 minutes
play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't working.
I feel like I almost said Brad Stevens, Ime Udoka and Steve Kerr really tightening up their rotation, going with that vaunted 6-man rotation with Derek White playing 35 minutes. I'm sorry. I'm looking. Chris Forsberg did a good job tweeting what the final sequence of events was for the Celtics, and it's just a lot of Tatum miss, Smart miss, Brown miss, Tatum miss, Smart miss, Horford three, Brown turnover, White 25 miss, 6.7 minutes, 32 seconds.
And that's the ball.
Woof, says Chris Forsberg, and I agree with him. As I said in the first segment of this show, it is wildly frustrating to watch a team that, even though I have the Celtics, the Warriors winning this series in six games, which is why I'm not so excited to see them have to go back out to Golden State tied when they should be up. I still think the Celtics are the better team. I just wish they would play like it. And I feel like 7.5 minutes, 6 points. That's really not becoming of a team that we expect to be a championship team.
The trend continues for your Boston Celtics. They win one, they lose one. They win one, they lose one. They can't string together back-to-back games. Fortunately, they win the first game of the series, so the trend continues. They win in game seven. I do want to get to Jason Tatum and the post-game. He was asked about, he was asked about the trend I was just talking about, the up-and-down nature, a complete roller coaster, the inability to string back-to-back performances together. Here is Jason Tatum.
I mean, we don't do this shit on purpose.
Language.
I promise you, we don't. You know, we trying as hard as we can, but we do, like, there's certain things that we got to clean up, obviously, turnovers, movement on the offensive end. You know, what we have liked to win today and be up 3-1, that would have been best case scenario, but it's the finals. And, you know, in the art of competition, they came here with, you know, no feeling like they had to win. I mean, you know, it wasn't easy. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it. That it is not going to be easy, and it shouldn't be. You know, we both want it, and you know, we got to go take it.
Six turnovers last night for Tatum. Six assists.
Best case scenario, we win the game. Thank you. Thank you, team leader.
What the best case scenario is.
Actually, I think best case scenario is they embarrass the Golden State Warriors so bad in game four. They say, you know what, guys, we're just going to call it. You know, we got some golf to play.
Slaughter rule.
We're going to surrender and not want to play you guys anymore. You know what? I think I have an idea of how the Celtics can avoid the whole up and down thing that you're alluding to, Ty, that Jason Tatum is talking about. Maybe instead of going into the half, you know, up 2 points, 3 points, down 1 point, they should try and be up 20 points.
I would recommend that.
Because the deficit that happens in the third quarter, and I'm half facetious, but it's always the third quarter with the Celtics. I'm looking at some really great numbers if you guys are interested. Golden State through four games in the third quarter, 33, 38, 35, 30. That's 136 points. Boston, third quarter through four games, 25, 24, 14, 24. They're losing 136 to 87.
That would be a plus 49 differential.
Yes, Celtics shooting that's a lean 20.8% from the field, seven field goals on average. So I feel like if the Celtics can just blow them out in the first half, they're totally set for the third quarter because this is not going to stop.
And at halftime, it was 54-49. And Shyam, you're a betting guy. The live line. Actually, I should say the second half line was Celtics minus one.
Yep.
So the Celtics had a 5-point lead. Vegas actually thought the Celtics were going to seal the game off, win it by six or more, or that was the line.
After the first half, that's what it felt like. It was a good first half by the Celtics.
Yes. Offensively, they played pretty well.
They were efficient. They played clean. There wasn't a ton of turnovers. I want to say, I mean,
Steph was 2 of 8 at that point.
Rob Williams was wonderful in
amazing
the first
in
half.
The first. And I think that's a big thing too, right? If Rob's healthy, I think he plays better in that second half, and the Celtics are just better. I think he has been an absolute difference maker, I think, for them on the floor. He was that way in Miami. They tried to get him out there as much as they could, but he's dealing with that knee injury. I think if he was fully healthy, this would be the series would be a little bit different.
It's Rob Williams. Yeah. If first of all, it really does look like the whole maintenance day in the playoffs for Rob Williams was working out for them based on how they came out. But I was going to say, because Tyler and I talked about this before, I think it was after game one or maybe game two. But you didn't believe that Rob Williams was going to be able to have an impactful role, like really be able to fit into this series. So what have you been seeing from him In the last two games, and maybe change your mind or didn't change your mind.
He's looking more springy. Like game three, he looked excellent. I thought between the 48 hours from game three on Wednesday, game four on Friday, I was like, that's a short turnaround. I know it's not like considered a back-to-back because it's not on a Thursday-Friday, but he looked okay in the first half. It looked like as the game went on, Chime, like you mentioned, like he kind of just lost some stuff. Like he had 5 points, 10 rebounds in the first half, completely active, blocking shots. He had 2 points and two rebounds in the second half. Like,
yeah,
that's
it was.
Not good
I think
15
between
minutes.
Between injury and conditioning in the second half, he was just toast. Like it was, and the conditioning is more so just the fact that he hasn't played as much as he may normally play over the last month. So, and it's because of that knee injury. So I think if he was healthy, I think this would be he would be having a much bigger impact. Like in that second half of last night, I think you're getting much better defensive presence if Robert Williams is on the floor, just because he does so many things. He closes out from inside the paint to a 3-point shot like nobody I've ever seen.
He absolutely has these Golden State Warriors shooters thinking about it whenever he's around the perimeter. There was one.
You saw Steph Curry drive to the hoop one time and have to throw it off the top of the glass to make sure Robert Williams couldn't block it. It was a great shot by Steph.
I think he still made it.
But yeah, he still made it because of Steph. But like, I mean, how many times are you going to make that shot? Like, he literally had to throw it to the moon to make sure Robert Williams didn't swat it into space.
Well, I think there was one sequence, I can't remember if it was the third or the fourth quarter. It probably was the third quarter because I didn't see Rob a lot in the fourth, where Steph Curry had the shot and he opted not to take it because Rob Williams is a guy that's going to cause a lot of problems for you if you're trying to shoot over him. I just wonder what the Celtics can do. If you can't play Rob Williams in the fourth quarter with the same efficiency that he is going to play in the first quarter, which I know is asking a lot from any player in the finals at this point, but him specifically is such an X factor with what he can do. And on top of that, Al Horford all of a sudden just can't seem to defend the perimeter as efficiently.
No,
dude. And
oh,
I don't
God.
Know
I
if this is a Golden State thing, if it was just that, like, the Bucks and the Miami Heat don't have the same pedigree of perimeter shooting that a Golden State has that kind of masked up what Al Horford was or was not able to do around the perimeter. But it felt like they were kind of picking on him later parts in the game where they were purposely trying to. And obviously, yeah, you would want your point guard to try and go one-on-one with the big. But the Celtics' defensive mentality is absolutely going to let that happen. They're going to switch everything that they do.
Al Horford's been miserable on defense. Like, his help defense is not helping anyone on the team. He's supposed to be guarding the pick and roll. Like, so when Kevon Looney comes at the top of the key to set a screen for Steph Curry, Al Horford's literally two arms lengths, at least 12 to 13 feet, sacking off of it on the free throw line. Steph Curry has the ball at the top of the key. All Steph Curry has to do is take one dribble off the screen and pull up, and he did that time and time and time again last night. And Al Horford's, like, not even getting a hand up. He's, like, putting his hand out. And I saw a great picture that's, like, Al Horford's, like, trying to will the force to make Steph Curry miss the shot. It's like,
told you,
bro, what are you doing?
It's all luck.
This is not Marcus Smart. This is not Brad Wanamaker. This is not Carson Edwards. It's
Steph
Jimmy
Butler.
Curry.
Yeah.
If there's one guy you can let get to the rim and instead of shoot a three over you, it's freaking Steph Curry.
What is the force? The force is you can move things, right?
Oh, wow.
I never heard that.
What is the force? The force is that you can move things. That's a great job.
I compel you to not make this 3-point shot.
So,
are these the droids I'm looking for?
To answer your question,
this is not the 3-point shot you're looking for.
You're only going to be able to play like Rob Williams like 20, 25 minutes a game. So, in the fourth quarter, he actually played 8 minutes, but was completely invisible. Al actually closed the game for them. The final 3-40, he was a -7. So he came in, they lost the game, lost the lead, game over.
Horford missed.
I would actually go back to Grant Williams, who played a ton in the Heat series, an absolute ton in the Bucks series.
Non-existent.
He's only playing like, he played 12 minutes last night after playing 30 in the previous two series.
He had four fouls in those 12 minutes.
Yeah, and one of them.
One was a take foul. Stop with the take fouls, Grant.
He loves those. It'll be.
Guys, that was me. Hand up.
Yeah, he's like, I got him. Sorry,
thanks,
my
Grant.
Bad.
Appreciate you.
I wonder if, like, the Draymond antics are getting to him, because, like, he's trying to be like, I'll settle it. Don't worry about it, guys.
What happened to the sheriff? What happened to Batman? I miss Batman.
So maybe.
I mean, Draymond Green went off last night, guys. He had 2 points. It's incredible. He had two points.
Draymond was so ineffective on the offensive side of the ball at points that the Celtics were just leaving him wide open. Because he plays like Al Horford, where he sits outside the three-point line, but yet can't make a three-point shot to save his life.
There was an offensive rebound that he got, and the ball came back to him. And you're right, Shime, at the free throw line. He had the ball, and he turned around. And there was nobody there. And he, by the way, walked with the ball. I'm not a guy that loses it over travels, but if I'm seeing one in
the
real
Peyton
time.
Pritchard one?
No, I'm talking about Draymond Green. Got ball and went and just like shuffle, shuffle here, shuffle here, shuffle. I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'm not paying any attention. And I just saw the guy pick up both feet and kick it to Steph Curry. Steph Curry knocks it down. The approach with Draymond is wild.
Also,
to watch.
Have you ever? I've never seen a big man handle the ball down the court as fast as Draymond.
He'll
get the inbounds and he just sprints down the court,
hauling
ass.
I'm
open, and then he's down there before everybody else. He stops at the foul line, turns around, and then eventually just passes it back to Steph Curry.
Guys, where are you at? I'm down here with the ball.
So what we're talking about with Draymond Green, I don't understand how the antics can get to Grant Williams when Draymond Green's like, "You want to be me?
No, I don't.
I want to be better." Than you.
I would be Rob Williams.
He's not even on the floor. How can the antics get to him?
That's what I don't understand.
Well, no. Grant told Yahoo Sports he wants to model his game after Draymond.
Yeah,
I think he idolizes this guy. So maybe he is unplayable because Draymond somehow in his head, but we would all agree the Boston Celtics fans got to Draymond Green. He admitted he was shook and rattled and outsmarted himself after game three. I think he was like marginally. He got an F for game three. He got a D to D plus in game four.
Plus zero.
Wilbon even called it out at halftime. He goes, "I've never seen Draymond this shook in my life."
I want to credit
D minus
the Boston Celtics fans who you know were really harsh and said vulgar language.
Good job
at Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green. I really want to commend the Boston Celtics.
Mike Breen finger wagged about that,
by
the way.
God, shut up, Mike Breen. But I thought it was really, really admirable that after all the bad blood and all the mean things being said and all the people that called the green line on Maloney Fourier and Mego and
Deacon Jones.
Terrible, terrible things, Jaylen Brown and Deacon Jones calling in to rip Draymond Green. I thought it was nice that they gave him a standing ovation when he came off the floor with two fouls in the first quarter. I thought that was really, really, and then rained down not one,
not two, but three FU Draymond chants.
Yes, of course.
This is the W. That was an 11-year-old.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. That's the best part. It's like, why are they such F and P's? Thank you. Goodbye. This hour of the WEI Producer Show is brought to you by the cleanup and restoration specialists at Servpro. Call 1-800-SERVPRO. I want to get to a Marcus Smart cut that I think if I'm Jason Tatum and I'm hearing this, I'm like, bro, shut the F up. I'll get to it next on the Producer Show.
Now, we're right back to it. The WEEI Producers Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
It's been great. Just trying to stay in the moment, you know, not think about it too much. Obviously, we got a job to do. So just kind of thinking of it as, you know, just another game. You know, not get too high about it.
So that was Jason Tatum asked his very first question in the post game was asked, how is your first finals experience? And he says, it's been great.
No, it's going real well so far.
Do you think
yes.
Is that a weird answer by a guy who's shooting 35% from the floor, who's supposed to be an all-NBA first-team player, but is supposed to be a quote-unquote superstar, has kind of been struggling to find, like, his rhythm. Playmaker been good, defender been good, offensive game as a whole, underwhelming. Is that a weird answer by Tatum?
Yeah, absolutely. I also think it's a bit of a weird question. We're only four games in here. The series isn't over.
Yeah.
Little bad question, very bad answer. I think it goes a little both ways. Yeah, but no, I mean, Tatum should... I need more of like a killer instinct out of him. Like I want him to be like, yeah, I mean, the job's not done yet. We need to win. Like then it'll be a good experience. Like something like that. I need him to be more. I want a little aggression.
Is that evidence that the moment is too big that he's saying like, I'm trying to stay in the moment. I'm trying not to get too high about it. I'm starting to get those vibes that he has idolized this stage for so long. And now that he is here, it's getting to him.
It would be such a novel answer to why does Jason Tatum seem to show stretches of just
disappears,
confusion, just standing around, ball watching, whatever you want to call it, you know, head scratching offensive approach.
He defers a lot late.
Look, the Celtics optimist in me, who has not shown himself nearly enough today,
not at all,
would say that the best is yet to come for Jason Tatum. That the one thing that Jason Tatum always defaults to, and I agree with him, and I trust that he would know more about this than I do, but whenever he's struggling, whenever the team is struggling, the answer that he generally defaults to is, at the end of the day, it's still basketball.
Got
to
step up.
And more than anything else, I know what I'm doing. And I trust that in, you know, the Celtics optimist in me, the next three games, that you're going to see the guy that we've been debating all along. And I would tell Jason Tatum, like, Jason Tatum asked the other day, like, you know, who came up with, you know, hey, am I a superstar? That's us. That's the inconsequential nonsense that we like to talk about 7 days a week. It's fun for us. It's fun for the fans. That's on us. Jason Tatum needs to just focus on just showing up and scoring and winning games. You don't have to worry, are you a superstar? Are you not a superstar? You know, whatever your contemporaries think of you, and I know that I think they hold Jason Tatum in a high regard. He is a superstar, even if he's not playing like a superstar. But I will say, Celtics optimist in me, I'm not worried about him.
So from the text line, he's not talking about his stats, you dum-dums. Text line 37937. We're not talking about his stats. He was asked about his finals experience. His first one, his first three words were, it's been great.
How has it been great?
I would not describe that. If you just lost a heartbreaking game at home. He put up a dud. He was taken out of the game. He shot under 50%. 50% from three, but he was terrible from two-point range.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't start my answer by saying, yeah, it's been great. I'd be a little bit worried. I don't like this. I didn't like that answer from Tatum. I hate this answer from Marcus Smart. He was asked about the struggles by the Celtics leader, the All-NBA first-team member, and Jason Tatum, the superstar, the franchise guy. And here is what Smart said about Tatum.
Yeah, we all are. We just constantly, you know, let him know.
One second. He was asked, are you talking to Tatum? And then he says, yes, we all are.
Yeah, we all are. We just constantly, you know, let them know, keep going. You know, this isn't your first time being in a slump. It won't be the last time. You got to figure it out. You know, we trust you. We believe in you. And this is what you're made for, you know. And Jason has to figure it out. We have to do a good job of helping him. But, you know, him being the player he is, these are the moments where he has to come alive and he has to figure it out. And he will. You know, we don't know when that is, but we sure it's going to happen soon, and we're ready for it, and we're here to back him up.
Jason has to figure it out. These are the moments where he has to come alive. True statements, absolutely true. Does not need to be coming from the heart and soul, the glue. Marcus Smart in a post-game press conference talking about his teammate, who is not obviously sitting next to him. Are you bothered by this like I am?
Yeah, can we just have some faith in our teammates and be like, it'd just be like, yeah, you know, we're all chatting throughout the series. Jason's going to do his thing. He's going to be fine.
Full confidence in my guy.
Yeah, full confidence in my guy. He'll bounce back. I mean, he's great. Something along those. Like, why do this in the NBA Finals? You're in the NBA effing Finals. Yeah. Stop trying to be Mr. Marcus Coach Smart.
Coach Smart.
Stop doing that. Nobody wants you to do that. Just keep your mouth shut and play basketball and stop taking so many threes.
I just think it's funny that the texture says that we're dumb for pointing out Jason Tatum's stats. Okay, we won't, but we'll Marcus Smart will sit up there and point out that he's in a slump. So, okay, fine. Don't listen to us. Don't listen to me.
Don't listen to Tyler or Shine.
That's absolutely okay. Marcus Smart is sitting up there saying he's in a slump right now. Is he? Yeah. Yeah, Jason Tatum's slumping right now. But is it going to last forever? If he's the superstar that I believe he is, and if he's the MVP, future MVP of this league that I know he is going to be, it's not going to last.
They don't want to pass the ball.
Yeah, especially after making those comments where, if you guys read the Jackie McMullen feature, which was a great piece, that seemed to be the turning point was, Marcus, acknowledge your mistake. These young pups, Brown and Tatum, are hurt by your comments saying they don't want to pass the ball. And it turned the season around because he apologized for those comments. So what does he do in the postgame four? He acknowledges his superstars in a slump. Jason Tatum has to figure it out. These are the moments we need him to figure it out for. And it's not as bad as those previous comments. They don't want to pass the ball.
I'm still worked by that. If I'm Jason Tatum and I'm hearing that, it might be a minor thing that I'm making too much of. I don't know.
I can't, because they've been here. And here's why I can't get on board with that, is they've been through so much since the comments you referred to in Jackie McMullen's Beast Eye, that was back in November. And it feels like we've lived four seasons since then. They've been through
8 months.
Really low.
Literally 8 months.
And their highs have been super high. So I would like to think that this group is mentally strong enough. If you know, you guys have all the faith in the world that they're going to go out and handle it in game five, which I don't. They should be okay if Marcus Smart is going to take that approach with maybe trying to motivate Jason Tatum after everything they have been through in 8 months.
These are the moments where he has to come alive and he has to figure it out.
One quick tip for everybody before we get out of here, by the way. Something that I wish I had been doing all along. Go bet Golden State -1.5 in the third quarter. Just every game the rest of the series.
How is that not a 3.5, 4.5?
I think it's just based on the spread is only 3.5. So it's like 0.5, 1.5, 1.5, 1.5 throughout the quarters. I don't understand how the third quarter, though, isn't like 3 or 4 points.
So I think the Boston Celtics blow doors in Golden State. They are, for some reason, a better road team than they are here at the Garden.
Yes,
it's bizarre.
Very much so.
I think the Celtics blow doors game five and win a nail biter game six. Banner 18 goes up on Monday, or on Thursday night, I should say, in game six. What is your quick reaction to game five, six, seven?
Yeah, game five, Celtics win by 15. They average 15.5 off of a loss, and they're undefeated. I'm going Celtics by 15.
Yeah, so, I'm going to say that by the time we do the show next week, the series is over. Golden State is your champions, and everybody's going to try to figure out how to trade Marcus Smart and Al Horford for Bradley Beal.
So you think two straight Warriors wins?
The wiggy take.
Yes.
I think two straight Celtics
wins. Warriors
in
six.
Game seven, by the way, would not be until next Sunday, the 19th. Nope. So it would be Monday.
So we're either lamenting a loss, raising a banner, or getting ready for game seven.
I will be very cordial.
If they lose.
I will be. I promise I will not rub it in that I was right. I will not. Because I've been wrong about the Celtics all year, so don't worry about what I say.
If they lose this series, talk radio and the newspapers, which I don't know if anyone actually reads.
Right?
People still listen to talk radio. Talk radio will be on fire in this city for the next 3-4 months until football season, essentially.
Yep.
And then it's all Red Sox from then, which will be great. This has been the WEI Producer Show. Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim. The Producer Show is produced, as always, by Nick LaPan.
I'm Tyler Devitt.
The Ken and Curtis Show is next on WEI.
See ya!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.